Good morning, welcome back to Nachyomi. Today we're going to be learning the 18th Mizmor, that is Mizmor Yud Ches in the book of Tehillim. This is an extraordinarily long Mizmor. Let's look at the overview and structure for a moment. It happens to be the longest chapter of Tehillim in the first two books of Tehillim. So it's extremely long, it is at 51 Pesukim. In case you're counting, it is also one of the 10 songs that are recorded in Tanakh throughout the Tanakh. There are numerous people who sing songs to Hashem. This is one of those songs. It has 365 words in it. Like, by the way, the 365 words in the combination of both the first and second tablets, the first and second set of luchos. It is fascinating to appreciate the sort of sense of completion that it expresses. When looking at the themes of this Mizmor, it is worthwhile noting that it is divided into two distinct sections. The first section runs from Pasuk Aleph all the way to Pasuk Chof Aleph. And at which point, the last Pasuk being Chof Aleph starts, 21 till the end, starts the new section. And these sections are actually remarkably different from one another. So in the first section, the tone is a strong tone. It's a tone which underscores the miraculous nature of heavenly help. Hashem helps David. David feels like he is being saved from death, from enemies. So for examples, Muhulal Ekra Hashem. I will praise Hashem and call out in his name, Umei Oivai Ivoshe, and I'll be saved from my enemies. Ki afafuni mishperei maves nachali v'li'al yavasuni. I've been surrounded, I've been threatened by these enemies. Chevlei she'ol sabuni kadmuni mokshe maves. When I call out to him, when I'm surrounded, he listens from his sanctuary, he hears my calls, and he saves me. So there's a tone of the active party in this section being that of Hashem. It is interesting that the second section is absolutely different. The tone is that Hashem helps David not in miraculous tones, but in battle. David is the active party over here. David is fighting wars. Hashem is helping him. He dominates his enemies. It's a very strong tone. Example. Psukim Lamed Ches Tumem. Erdefor Oivai Vashmideim. I will chase my enemies and destroy them. V'lo Yashuv Ad Kala Osam. I won't return until I've completely destroyed them. V'achaleim V'echa Otzeim V'lo Yukumun. I will disintegrate them, I will squash them until they do not get up again. V'yiplu Tachas Raglai. They'll be underneath my feet. Taz vatazreni chayel milchamo atachria koma tachteni, you girded me for war. If you think about this, this is a completely different turn to the first section. First section, the active party is Hashem, description of miracles, these miraculous interventions in David's life. The second one is David Melech actually fighting wars and Hashem giving him the strength to do that successfully. Very different perspectives. It is interesting to know that in the first section, when looking at the miraculous descriptions that David HaMelech enumerates, we don't necessarily see all of those in David HaMelech's life. Meaning to say, when we talk about some of these miraculous descriptions in section 1, we don't actually, in Tanakh, in Sefer Shmuel, we don't see some of the miracles of that proportion in David HaMelech's life, which leads the Mefarshim to say that he's connecting to earlier miracles in Tanakh, like Exodus, leaving Egypt, and like Matan Torah. So these are, David HaMelech is contextualizing his life as being the culmination of those experiences. It is worthwhile noting that there's a beautiful midrash in Midrash Eicha Rabbah, in Psichta Lamed, the 30th paragraph, where there's a discussion about how different kings dealt with their attitude to war and their own involvement and success. And the Midrash goes on to describe that the kings are David, Asa, Yehoshaphat, and Chizkiyahu, all kings of Yehuda, of the southern kingdom. And David HaMelech says, David HaMelech is the most strong of them. He says, Erdoif, Oivai, Vasigeim, I will search out and pursue my enemies. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I will support you. Meaning, David HaMelech, you are actively choosing to do this, I will support you. However, later on, when it comes to other kings, they're a little more tempered. They don't necessarily have such strong views. So, for instance, Asa, who comes later, says, "Ani ein bi koach l'harog lohem, elo ani rodefo sam va'ata oseh." I'm going to chase them, Hashem, you destroy them, which is why it says, Vayidafeim Asa, he pursued his enemies, but he didn't have the gall to say, I will capture them and destroy them. Yehoshaphat, just a few generations later on, says, Ani, en bikoach lo la rog v'lo lirdof. I don't have the power to kill or even to pursue. I'm going to say Shira and you're going to do it. And that's why, quoting the Pasuk in Deuteronomy, that's why it describes how he would sing and Hashem would help him. And Chizkiyahu HaMelech would say, I don't even have the ability to kill, pursue, or sing, and therefore I'm going to go to my bed and I'm going to pray to you, Hashem, and you will save me from my enemies. Obviously, these are not necessarily literal. Chizkiyahu did, of course, fight, and these other kings certainly were involved in warfare. But what it does mean to say is that the level of confidence in one's own abilities to succeed is diminishing over the time, which means to say, David Melech was so aware of his chosenness, he was so aware of his station in society and in God's eyes, that he felt confident saying, I will go out, I will chase my enemies, and I will kill them, and I know that Hashem has my back. Other kings would say, I'm going to try, but I know that I really need a lot more help for Hashem, which is sort of the dichotomy in what we call Hishtadlus and Bitachon, the person's doing, one's actions, and the trust that Hashem will engage in those actions and make them successful. It is worthwhile noting, in terms of themes, that this perek in Tehillim, this chapter in Tehillim, is almost identical to the 22nd chapter in Shmuel Beis, almost word for word. Very, very long perek, and it is also the Shira which David HaMelech said at the end of his life. How do we deal with the fact that they are almost identical? So the Radak, as an example, in Sefer Shmuel Beis Perek Chof Beis, the very beginning, says, no, he says that it's exactly the same thing, and the words are inconsequential, meaning to say it's a little bit here, a little bit there. It's really just, it's milchaf, it says, umit chalefes bimekomot milim. It really means the same thing, even though the words may be different. So don't get too worried about it. Don't dig into it too much meaning. The Al-Sheikh HaKadosh, in his commentary on Shmuel, actually says no. He says that if you look at this, perhaps, as we're going to see in Tehillim, you'll see some Tehillim which start with the words LeDavid Mizmor, and some start with the words Mizmor LeDavid. How do you work out what the difference is between those two? So he quotes a famous Gemara which says that when it says LeDavid Mizmor, it means to say David HaMelech initiated, he experienced something and he said, I need to respond to this. And he started responding, and Hashem then endowed him with the divine spirit that his initiated song should be something of note. However, when it says Mizmor LeDavid, it means to say that it was initiated by on high. David HaMelech was not necessarily trying to do something, and suddenly he was inspired by an external force, by a divine spirit, by the Ruach HaKodesh, by Hashem's inspiration, and that was the trigger which allowed him to express this Mizmor. So he suggests that maybe that gives us the distinction between the time it was mentioned in Sefer Shmuel Beis and the time it's mentioned in Tehillim. Maybe in Shmuel Beis, it was David HaMelech initiating it after his own life, and Tehillim is where he was now divinely inspired, which may account for the fact that there's some discrepancies. One was Hashem's inspiration, which is giving him perhaps a more refined way of saying it than if it was just him himself, as an example. And on a similar vein, the Da'at Mikra Rav Amos Chacham, in his Sikkum, in his conclusion at the end of this Mizmor, suggests that maybe David HaMelech said the one in Shmuel Beis actually in his life upon his own experiences, and later on he decided, let me add it to the Book of Tehillim, but in order to add it for posterity, he now no longer is going to have it simply about his own events, but he's going to globalize it for all people who are going to tap into this Mizmor, and therefore that accounts for some of the differences. The Malbim and the Abba Manel tried to create theses upon which every distinction is accounted for. It's not so easy to see how it fits into every single detail, but nonetheless, there are beautiful theories out there. One famous difference just to be aware of is one that we all know very well, and that is Magdil versus Migdol. The last pasuk of this Mizmor is Magdil Yeshua is Malko v'Oseh Chesed im Shichol LeDavid ul'Zaroi Ad Olam, which is actually said in the Birkas HaMazon at the end of the benching. And we have two versions. One is Magdil and one is Migdol. The reason why there are two versions is because actually one is Tehillim, that's Magdil, and Migdol is in Shmuel Beis. So it's the different variants of that actual text. I heard once that, once again, the Radak will say it is inconsequential. It's the same idea. V'ainyan echad, he says. Whereas I once heard that there was. It is interesting. It used to be written in the benches that there was a variant text, and it wrote beis shin beis, which was b'shmul beis. This is the other version of it, which is migdol, and it, ultimately the print is turned into b'shabbat. And it was turned into the fact that one should say it on Shabbat, and which is the way that it is to practice now, that Migdol is said on Shabbat, and Magdil is said during the weekday. Be it as it may, there are obviously more meaningful, actual, specific expressions of Hashem being greater or being like a tower, which refers to the different experiences. There are different ways of looking at this. But be it as it may, there are many debates as to how to put together the fact that this paragraph or this song appears twice in Tanakh. What are the events behind the Mizmor? So it is interesting that there are veiled references to many enemies of David, and some Mefarshim actually go on to enumerate no less than 10 enemies which are being referenced in this Mizmor. But it seems to be left particularly blank in that respect, because David HaMelech is globalizing it for all of us to be able to connect to. He does reference Exodus, leaving Egypt, and Matan Torah, and indicating these are blueprint for all of the later experiences that he is going to experience. When exactly did David HaMelech sing it? And this is the last point. And the Radak says that it was at the end of his life, as is clear the fact that it's the end of Shmuel Beis, which is the end of David HaMelech's life. He was now at the end of his life. He's now responding. He's looking back on his life and saying, Hashem, you really saved me. You really allowed me to be successful. Whereas the Metzudas David offers that, no, maybe this in fact was the song that he sang all the way through his life. Meaning at every juncture when he felt successful, this is what David HaMelech would whip out, this would be his experience and expression. And therefore, it's beyond every time that he was saved, he'd say, Lo Samikavu Kolevav, that was when he would actually express it. Very different way of looking at it, but nonetheless, something very beautiful, which perhaps could have developed over David HaMelech's own life as he had more experience. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.